Live from NPR News, I'm Janine Herbst. President Trump says he will nominate a woman this week to succeed the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the U.S. Supreme Court. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden is imploring Senate Republicans to wait until after the election to consider a successor and suggests he will nominate a black woman. NPR's Mara Liasson has more.
President Trump is pushing for Ginsburg's seat to be filled by a conservative without delay. Joe Biden says with only a few weeks before Election Day, the people should decide who gets to make that nomination. The Trump campaign believes this fight has the potential to reshape the presidential campaign in Trump's favor by changing the focus from COVID and Trump's leadership to the courts and reminding some Republican voters why they held their noses and voted for Trump in 2016. But because a conservative replacement for Ginsburg would cement a 6-3 conservative majority on the high court for decades, Democrats say this could be a rallying cry for their base, too. Especially for younger women who idolized Ginsburg. Mara Liasson, NPR News.
A federal judge has blocked President Trump's order banning the popular Chinese app WeChat in the U.S. as of midnight. NPR's Bobby Allen reports the judge found the president's action violates free speech rights of American users of the app.
WeChat users sued the administration over the ban, saying WeChat is where millions of people in the U.S. talk to friends and family, conduct business, and read the news. But the Trump administration insisted that the app collects data that could be shared with Chinese authorities, representing a threat to national security. Federal Judge Laurel Beeler was not convinced. She wrote that the administration's case against WeChat is, quote, modest, and that shutting down a service that serves as a virtual public square for Chinese-speaking Americans is unconstitutional. The temporary reprieve for WeChat comes just as a last-minute deal was struck to save another app owned by a Chinese company, TikTok. Bobby Allen, NPR News, San Francisco.
The British government is increasing fines for violating some COVID-19 restrictions in an attempt to avoid a second lockdown. NPR's Frank Langford has more from London.
The government will impose $1,300 fines for people who don't self-isolate after testing positive for COVID, as well as those who leave their homes after being designated as a close contact of someone who's contracted the disease. The move comes as new COVID cases rose to about 3,900 with 18 deaths. And Health Secretary Matt Hancock warned Britain is at a tipping point. People here continue to flout the key COVID rule, no gatherings of more than six people, indoors or out. This weekend, large groups of young people met in parks in and around London while families packed the seaside city of Blackpool. On Saturday, more than 2,000 protesters went to Trafalgar Square without masks to oppose the government's COVID restrictions based on various conspiracy theories. Frank Langford, NPR News, London.
And you're listening to NPR News. Slovenia's president declared it a historic day after two Slovenes came in first and second place in the Tour de France, which finished up today in Paris. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley reports this year's tour was a huge success, despite many wondering if it would even finish when it started 3 weeks ago amid the coronavirus.
The riders crossed the finish line on a nearly empty Champs-Élysées because crowds had been strictly limited. Irishman Sam Bennett won the mostly ceremonial stage in Paris. Slovenes Tadej Pogacar and Primož Roglič took the top two spots in what had become a race within the race. In a stunning climax on Saturday, Pogacar crushed his older fellow Slovenian and took the lead rider's yellow jersey. At 21, he is the youngest winner in the Tour's post-World War II era. The world's most grueling and iconic cycling race was postponed 2 months because of the coronavirus, but the riders were continually tested and stayed in a bubble, and the number of fans was limited. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Paris.
In Italy, voters are heading to the polls today and tomorrow in the government's first test following the country's COVID-19 lockdown that devastated the economy. A constitutional referendum is on the ballot and seven regions choose new governors. Low turnout is likely in Italy's first pandemic election. Volunteers will count ballots after thousands of election officials bowed out because of health concerns. Italy has seen an uptick in COVID-19 cases in recent weeks. This referendum is calling for reducing the number of parliament members by a third, and it is likely to pass. I'm Janine Herbst, NPR News.